Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
And we got another great boardroom chat for you today. Right. We sure enjoy these things, don't we?
You know, I just feel privileged to be able to study the Bible with you.
Oh, well, praise the Lord.
I know you feel the same way. That's what you're supposed to say.
Yes, yes. I feel exactly the same way. You know, because, you know, it's really more
and
than...
And with you. Everyone's
yeah.
watching.
It study to show thyself approved unto God.
A workman that needeth not be ashamed.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. Which means if you don't study, it's possibly you can wrongly divide the word of truth. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to tell you something. I was thinking about today, what do we talk about at the boardroom chat? And, you know, people say, this didn't seem like nothing ever bothered Brother Jesse. We were preaching a meeting a while ago. I mean, three or four weeks ago, doing the meeting, and somebody just passed out in the meeting, just hit the floor. And just passed out. Somebody just grabbed her. I went over, I prayed, and I told everybody after I finished doing that, and everybody look at me. We came with this is taken care of. And I had people saying, my God, man, nothing shakes him. And, you know, I said, that person going to be all right. There ain't no problem. Yeah. Ain't nothing about that. Why? Because we know in whom we have believed and we're persuaded.
That's right.
That he is able to keep what we commit to him. And I committed that lady's health, that lady's life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I went about finishing my business, you see. Not trying to be arrogant about that, but let me show you why I do that. And how can I do that? If you got a Bible or an iPad, whatever you use for scripture, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, this is a long chapter. Mm-hmm. It's got, I think, 58 verses in it. I want to start with verse 57. Okay. This is Paul. Now, he wrote this 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's even stronger today. It says that, but verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've already won the war.
Mm-hmm.
All we got to do is receive the prize because God has given us the victory. And what is that victory? This is the victory that overcometh the world. We'll deal with that a little later.
Even our faith. That's right.
Now, how can you be so strong when something goes bananas, when something goes crazy? You know, when hurricanes show up or whatever you call it, tsunamis or earthquakes and things. I don't deny all that by no means. But let me show you the next verse is what I do every day of my life. Therefore, and I've always said anytime there's a therefore, find out what it's there for.
Right.
I heard Brother Kendall Hagin Sr. say that.
It's good.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing I do is to be steadfast. That doesn't mean trouble don't come. I mean, we were doing a visionary conference three weeks ago, whatever. And to make a long story short, we need those big projectors on the wall because we have a lot of people there. And then one of them goes out of all times, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like your air conditioning goes out when people decide to spend the night at your house.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? We did what we had to do. We stayed steadfast and got the thing fixed. So actually, we had to rent one to get it done.
Right.
And it was more expensive, but who cares?
It was very expensive, and it wasn't the quality we're used to. In fact, we had to tone down one mm-hmm. of the screen that was working properly
right.
down so that they would look the same. But it wasn't the excellence that we liked. But at least people had the scriptures on
right,
the screens.
Right, they could see it.
They had the
Well, the key
images.
To it was just to be steadfast. This is therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast. That's number one.
Number one.
Now it says unmovable.
Immovable.
Now you can be moved if you want to, but I refuse to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
Unmovable. See, when you're steadfast and immovable, then the next statement kicks in. Right. Always abounding.
Right.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Then he gives you the reason why. For as much as you know, not believe, but that you know that your labor is not in vain in God. You have been laboring. It's kind of like when you punch a clock. You know, years ago, I don't know if they still do that. You'd punch a clock and you get paid every 2 weeks, but you punch the clock for your time for the first week. Well, you didn't get paid for no second week till the end of the second week. But you knew that your labor was not in vain because it was on the clock.
Right. You knew the check was coming.
You knew the check was coming. For right. you know as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in God. So number one, we must be steadfast. What do you believe in God for?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a sickness that's attached itself to your body or to a loved one. Well, the first thing to do is know what the word says, that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. So if he took our infirmity, we don't want it. If he bore our sickness, we don't need
right,
it.
Right.
By his stripes, I'm healed. Now, you can quote that to you blue in the face, but are you saying it with your heart or are you just saying it with your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be steadfast, you have to say it with your mouth and with your heart. In other words, your spirit and your soul and your body got to be in one mind and one accord.
Yeah.
I am steadfast.
Right.
And then I will not be moved. Go ahead.
Right. You can't be double-minded.
Right.
The book of James talks about, because if anybody's double-minded or wavers.
Double-minded?
You're winded.
No, we ain't double-minded. We double-minded.
Thanks for catching that.
I thought
I'd
bring
it
up to your
attention. Just see if you would help me out.
Yeah, just be immovable.
Help a brother out.
Go ahead there, girl.
Anyway, no, but James says be steadfast. He says that you should not be wavering.
Right.
Tossed to and fro, because don't let anybody think that they will ever receive anything.
That's right.
From God if you live a life that's wavering.
The only way your faith won't work is if you waver. Mm-hmm. So I learned to be steadfast. Now that is believing I don't care what anybody says, and then be immovable. Mm. I mean, because you see, you may want to move all the time. Oh, God, what we're going to do? What we're going to do? Your mind may be saying, see, that was the problem with Moses when he told the people to cross the Red Sea.
Yeah.
You know, he was steadfast. Y'all going to see God. But he was not immovable, because Jesus said, the Father God said, what are you crying out to me for? Just tell the people to go forward. Stretch the stick out and let's walk, see?
That's right.
Immovable,
that's right.
For you know. Mm-hmm. See, I know that this ministry will complete its destiny and reach its destination. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had a preacher say this to me. How can you go through 46 years of ministry and not have a financial deficit? Well, at first I want to say, I don't think I have any more faith than anybody else, or I'm better than anybody else. But I took this at face value, that I would be steadfast, that I would be unmovable. That means when I didn't have any money, it didn't make any difference. It was coming, because my labor was not in vain in God. I had sowed my seed. You know, harvest takes a little time sometimes.
Right, and we didn't get ahead of God. A lot of people make that mistake where they're believing, but they don't know how to wait for the right timing.
Right,
and
timing is very important.
They move ahead, and they get themselves in trouble, and things don't
See, if you
come.
Get ahead of God, he stopped moving. And now you're way out there by yourself. So you're going to have to just back up to where you are, then you start walking again. So when I would go through these things, I never forget when I first started my ministry many, many years ago, a lot of times they would receive an offering for a mission, and I wouldn't get it. They'd take it, and they'd say, thank you very much, shake my hand, and go. I had one guy, shook my hand, gave me a Dr. Pepper for a whole week's work. I still got that Dr. Pepper. It's in my office. I worked too hard, but I didn't drink it. Praise God, you know. But you know what? I was steadfast. Instead of getting bitter at him, I decided to get better than him. Mm-hmm. See? And that I would be unmovable. God sent me here. God would take care of me. And I started driving down the road, and many times I ran out of fuel. But I always seemed to run out of fuel in front of a gas station. Always seemed like somebody at the gas station who I did not know, they did not know me, God would move upon them to fill my car up and to bless me. I mean, it's the most amazing thing. Well, how do you know it was going to happen? I was unmovable. Now, I could have been moved, but I refused to be unmovable because God sent me into the ministry. Now, how do you do that in the midst of all these things? And I want you to read this first. We're going to come back to this in a minute. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how you steadfast. This is how you immovable. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction is but for a moment. So that was just a light affliction. For a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, this is how you stay steadfast and immovable. While we look not at the things which are seen. I didn't look at the gas, it's out of gas. What are we going to do? Gloom and despair and agony on me. I didn't deny it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't look at it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, I was looking at my faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. My faith will produce gasoline for that tank. Mm-hmm. My faith will produce money for food. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary or subject to change. Like I just said, I seemed to run out of gas right by maybe a convenience store with a gas pump. It was just temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. What's not seen? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I ask you a question today. Are you believing God for anything right now and you can't see it?
I can't see it in the physical, but I see it in the realm of the spirit. I know I have some things I'm believing for.
Yeah, but you're not moved by it because you can't see it.
Well, it starts there. It starts as an inner image. something God spoke to me, and then I start thinking about it, meditating on it. I've even taken some and drawn it out on a piece of paper, things that I want to do.
Right.
Future projects that I have in mind. It's not for today, but I have to start thinking about all the details about it now. And yeah, it's getting stronger and bigger in me all the time.
That's my whole point. Because there's so many people, there's so much junk going on in the world. Inflation, what are we going to do? Be immovable.
Right.
Steadfast, don't deny it, just don't look at it. Yeah, well, bless God, I won't have enough money to buy enough food. Well, you know what? If you really want to blow the devil's brains, I'll say, well, instead of just saying I ain't got enough food, I'll fast a couple of days. And the devil get mad about that. Wait a minute, man. He'll send somebody with a sack of groceries to your house to stop you from fasting. Because, man, I mean, you shut down the natural generator and put on the spiritual generator, you're going to get strong. Mm-hmm. And then you can call those things that be not as though they were, and they will be. I'll never forget that. I mean, you love this story I told. I must have been, I don't know, 10, 11 years old. I had a good friend named Raymond. His father was Pastor James Sellers. This was down in Venice, Louisiana. And, you know, in those days, you went over. I know that don't happen hardly anymore. We'd go over and sleep at each other's house, friends. You know, school friends, whatever. And I remember I went over to James, to Raymond's house, and we was going to sleep. And I'll never forget this as long as I ever live. And Sister Fern was her name, it was his mother, and Brother James Sellers, they had 12 kids.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, that's the Last Supper. So I'm number 13. You know, I'm the odd man out, like you could say. And they set that whole table. What I noticed, I didn't smell no food cooking. You know, but I thought, well, you know, whatever. And we sat down at the table. The only thing that was actual physical stuff was a glass of water. And he's going to pray the blessing over the food. Hmm. Now, my lightning fast mind said, ain't no food. Where the food?
We're going to eat plates, I think.
We're going to eat plates, yeah. I mean, there ain't nothing. So I looked like that, and before he prayed the prayer, I said, Brother Sellers, there just ain't no food. There wasn't nothing on that table. Nothing. He said, the Lord will provide. And I thought to myself, well, he better hurry up because I don't see no provision anywhere. This literally happened. Now, they lived, you had to cross, there was a little bridge over kind of a bayou, what we call here in South Louisiana, a bayou. And then you had to walk another, I don't know, 70, 80 feet to where their house was. So you were pretty far from the main road, you know, it's kind of like, mm-hmm. It was kind of swampland and stuff like that. Venice, Louisiana is where it was. He bowed his head. I didn't. I bowed my head, but I kept my eyes open just in case, you know, a hamburger show up, you know, just on my plate or something like that. And he said, Lord Jesus, I remember the prayer, Lord Jesus, I thank you for blessing this food to our body, that you meet all our needs, and we just thank you for it in advance that God's word is true. And I heard this. I knock on the door. Mm-hmm. Brother Sellers finished praying. He looked up, and he said, Fern, go to the door. Told his wife. She got up, walked to the door. Watch this. It took 4 seconds, 5 seconds at the most. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a very big house.
Yeah.
And kids slept on the floor everywhere, you know, 12 of them in my life. They opened up the door. There was 2 huge sacks of groceries on the table. I mean, on the steps. I got up. I saw the bag. There's no way whoever put them sacks of groceries could get across that bayou that fast. That bayou was pretty wide, as well as to get to the house.
Yeah.
And he said, Fern, cook the food. There was bread in there, everything. And there were snacks in there while she was cooking the food. So we wasn't hungry waiting on it. Actually, we all got pretty full stuff, you call it. I'll never forget that about that man. It didn't shake him. You know why? He was steadfast.
Yeah.
He already had the victory. This is the victory.
I'm sure it wasn't the first time that happened to him either.
But he had that victory. It's like what I was saying. But thanks be unto God. See, he was already thanking God for the victory.
Right.
See, so now he was steadfast. The empty plates did not move him. They moved me.
Yeah. And the kids, did they look moved?
No, I guess them kids were just... They'd used to their mother and father, how they did things.
Walking by faith.
You know, and I don't remember ever questioning Raymond too much about that. I just thought, and I remember saying, man, God, man, it was hard enough. He said, yeah, it happens all the time, but we never go hungry. Mm. And it was just amazing. And he became a missionary, a great missionary, Brother Sellers.
Yeah.
I mean, I went home and told that to Mama. She said, what happened? Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, Mama, verbatim. Mm-hmm. She said, well, that man has great faith.
I remember, I think this, when you told me the story, you thought that you ate angel food because you couldn't see the human or the person
there
that brought
no,
it.
Kathy, there was no way
a manifestation.
A person could get across that bayou, we would see him. Mm-hmm. There was no way. No. And I mean, nothing. I mean, you could look everywhere. Yeah, no one could hide.
Yeah. It was like that Elijah moment when the ravens brought
yeah,
the food.
Yeah, brought the food. I mean,
brought the food.
And you could call it angel food, call it what you want, but we had a nice dinner.
An angel or an eagle.
Or somebody.
Those two big bags.
Big bags. I'm not talking about a little bag. I'm talking.
Right.
It looked like about a week full of groceries.
Praise
there.
The Lord.
But two of them big.
That's good.
It was one of the most amazing things, but he was steadfast.
Yeah.
Well, when I went into ministry and they didn't, give me a room, I'd never hear one place. Wouldn't put the heat on because they didn't want the utility bill to go up for the church that they had out, what they call evangelist quarters. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not lying. There was 28 degrees in that room. That's freezing.
I was
there Sunday through Wednesday. I remember jogging that night to get so cold. But I never stopped. I never complained. In fact,
and even now you're not complaining.
No,
but
I'm telling
you
how God took care
of me. To do. People.
In other words, I had many opportunities to fail. I just didn't take it.
And give up. Right.
Yeah, because of being steadfast, immovable, abounding. Yeah. That's the three things I want to talk about, steadfast, immovable, and abounding. So instead of looking at your problem, why don't you be steadfastly focused on your answer?
Right.
Because the answer will get rid of a problem. This is what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth.
Yeah.
Now, they were going through tribulation like we've never seen in our lifetime.
Right.
You know, you got Nero want to kill everybody and you name it, with all that kind of stuff, but they were steadfast. In fact, it's in history that Nero, he set Christians afire in that big Colosseum, and they were singing.
Well, and they were like human torches.
Yeah, but they were singing.
Yes.
You can't sing. You know how terribly painful that is to be burned alive? Singing unto the Lord.
The fire didn't affect them the same way the fire didn't affect those three Hebrew children that were in the fiery furnace
singing.
In the day.
And I like what
the
history says in there. Why are they singing? Mm-hmm. He was frustrated.
Yeah.
Well, evidently, and they just went into glory in fire, but not in a hurting way, but in a wonderful way. They were steadfast.
So the day when you had just plates before you, mm-hmm. I'm sure the devil was saying, how come Brother Sellers and his family's not worried?
They were not worried.
How come they're not fretting?
You know, me and you did the same thing when I went into the ministry. Back in those days, this is a lot of churches didn't have good sound systems. So I was believing God for a sound. I didn't have nothing.
Right.
So I stepped out by faith and ordered a Bose system. That was about the best you could get back then, you know, so I could hook it up and go with it.
And it wasn't just to speak with, because in the first early days, you would sing a lot. I mean, you would
They wanted me to sing, play.
You had like soundtracks you would play because you had already had your first album that you had done. You used to sing a lot.
But I didn't have no
money. So you sang for like 30 minutes, preached for 30 minutes, and prayed for people for 30 minutes.
Oh, man, we just go at it. I mean, just work like a dog.
At least.
Well, to make a long story short, I ordered this thing, and what they call that when they ship it to you?
We ordered it COD.
See, cash on delivery.
Cash on demand.
$2,000. And it was
huge.
Supposed to deliver Thursday. I ordered it. I was stepped out by faith. Now, I'm not telling you to do this, but I stepped out by faith.
But
I ain't going to lie. I was a little shaky inside, but I didn't say nothing. Well, Thursday came, and I was kind of hoping it might, maybe it'd be delayed to Friday, Saturday. You know, give me a couple extra days. Maybe I can go work somewhere and grab it. I didn't have nothing. Thursday came, and we call it UPS. I think it was UPS, the delivery system. They called and said we'd be at the house at 11 o'clock, COD. And it was something like 9:30, and I said, oh, Jesus. I said, but I know in whom I have believed and I'm persuaded. Now, I'm a young preacher, see. I'm 28 years old when this happened. You understand what I'm saying? And I want to tell you something. And at 11 o'clock, they showed up. But at 10:15, a man walked up to me and gave me $2,000. He said, the Lord told me to bring this to you, that you needed it for your ministry. I want to kiss the boy, and I don't kiss men. You know what I'm saying? But I tell you what, Jesus, it was just so wonderful. And I think the reason why, because not because I was so strong, but I was steadfast. Mm-hmm. I knew God was going to do it. I didn't know how he was going to do it. Mm-hmm. But he knew that I had to have a COD. And I used that Bose system for years. setting it up, going down, you know, but I didn't look at the things which are seen. Mm-hmm. Because you see, if you look at them and you don't say nothing, let me just say it like this. If thoughts come in your mind and you don't speak them, they die unborn. Mm-hmm. They abort themselves.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And when you understand that, that's how God works. So the Lord told me to speak about that today because there's so much hassle and trouble in the world today. I mean, everywhere you see, buddy, there is chaos. Chaos in the church. People preaching stuff causing confusion. Mm-hmm. People not calling people to talk to people before they say something that they shouldn't say. I have a misunderstanding of scripture or whatever, and think they're saying something wonderful when it's causing confusion in the church. And the devil's the author of confusion, and we should not have confusion.
Right.
We should be in one mind and one accord.
Right.
In unity, not uniformity, but unity, to speak the word of God. So that's what's happening in the world today. So don't worry about what's happening in the political realm and all that craziness, you know what I'm saying? Because it's all going to pass away. Mm-hmm. Mark my words. A man told me this the other day. He said, you know, I told him that at the was at the visionary conference. But Jesse, criticism don't seem to bother you at all. I said, y'all, the people criticize me, they're going to die. Not that God's killed them, they're all going to die. And the people that remember them are going to die. And eventually, they ain't going to be never remembered no more. They'll never be remembered. And the people that remember them will die, and they will not remember anymore. And nothing, zero, it's all wasted. But so why worry about something that's just going to fade away? But when you understand that Jesus, who made us eternal beings, we have a life and that more abundantly to the full, till it overflows. See, now that's being steadfast and immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Nowhere in the scripture do you see Jesus thinking, wonder how I'm going to feed them disciples today. Mm-hmm. He had partners to his ministry. Mm-hmm. Kathy had partners to his ministry.
Right.
That's amazing to me. And yet he was the Son of God.
Right.
But he fed 5,000 people with a two-piece fish dinner. See, all he needed was a seed. He didn't need a harvest to feed 5,000. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a revelation right there. He needed a seed. And that little boy gave him the seed, 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Right.
Think about that. See, you don't need a big hole. I don't know what I'm going to do. All you need is a seed. What do you think about that?
I love it. I love it. And I love the scriptures. When you just had us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, uh-huh. verse 17, the Amplified is so powerful about that. It says, for our light, momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour. We can't get caught up in what the devil's saying or what the problem is saying. We have to be focused on our victory and what we're believing for. He says, because it's ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons.
That's big.
And all calculations, a vast transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. So then he goes on to say, since we consider and look not at the things, to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, like you said, brief and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. So
praise
faith
God.
Is everlasting. So when we hook our faith onto what God's word has said and believe it, that he's going to meet all our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what the world's going through. If he has to bring a raven to bring food to your house,
he'll do it.
Bring whatever it is that you need, like he brought the groceries to that family's house.
Never forget that.
God supplies all of our need when
brought
we
gasoline
believe him.
To my car.
Gasoline to your car.
Food to my body.
Brought that cash for that COD, for the sound system that we believe God told us to order. We didn't order it just out of our head.
No.
We had a witness of the Spirit, God, that the Holy Spirit was saying, go ahead and order it. It's going
right.
to be there when you need it.
I'll never forget when the Lord told me to order. He said, order that. I said, I don't have the money. He said, I do.
And that was the day
that's
before they had credit cards.
No.
We didn't have credit cards.
No, you didn't have any of that. No.
So if I'd have wrote a check, it'd have bounced.
Yeah.
And
rubber
I didn't
in
do
it.
That.
Right.
We didn't, but right, wrong, bad
checks. I mean,
checks.
God was so good and gracious to it. You know, and I mean, you know, we didn't have like a MasterCard and a Visa. We had a JCPenney's card. You know, I remember
that's
the first one.
Yeah, I don't think the shipping guy would have accepted
the JCPenney.
Yeah,
I don't think they'd have taken pennies.
Or I think we may have had a gas card at some point. It was one of our first ones we got.
Yeah, we had a Shell gas card. Mm-hmm. I thought, I can't believe that, you know. It was just such a blessing. And I thought it was high. You know how much gas was in 1978? 58 cents a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, Jesus, we can't put that on that car. How are we going to pay for that? And yet I made a lot of money before I say gave it all away. But I didn't, I see, all I needed was a seed. And I had planted my seed. Now, you know, that little bow system, I think about it, we got bigger and bigger, and we began to really buy big equipment. And I gave that little bow system, and it went to a church. They hung it, and they used that bow system. That thing stayed alive for 20 more years.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was an excellent little bow system. It was just a blessing of the Lord. Bows, B-O-S-E, what it was. And so God, actually, there was more harvest in that bow system than I thought possible. It met everything I needed, and it met everything that church needed for 20 years.
Wow.
That is amazing. You know why? We had a seed. We knew how to get rid of the destroyer. The Lord said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
Which was really important in those early days, because not long after that, we started getting, we started recording your messages.
Yeah.
Like putting it on cassettes, and you had these duplicators that you would carry around.
Boy,
as
that
well.
Was some heavy stuff. I'd get on Delta Airlines, and one weighed 70 pounds in this hand, the other weighed 70 pounds.
We had them in these big anvil cases so that you could bring them on the airplane. About that.
And then I'd run, after I finished preaching, I'd run to the back and duplicate tapes.
Right.
And people would wait on them tapes.
Yeah.
I needed what they call slaves to the duplicator, where you could do more than two
just
at a time.
Two at a time.
So after a while, I had five of them lined up. Boy, and then I had God sent me a wonderful person to help me. Oh, God, I look back now and I couldn't have done it. And I don't mind saying her name. Her name was Vicky DeGange from Monroe, West Monroe, Louisiana. I think West Monroe. And I want to tell you something. I don't know, Vicky, if you're seeing this. I couldn't have done it without her. She said, I'll take care of that. You don't have to run back here. And just come back at the close of the service. Rest yourself. And she just did it and showed up. And I didn't pay her a dime because I didn't have a dime. You know what I'm saying?
That must have been before we hired Fritz.
That's before we hired
Fritz. That was like the first year then.
She was just... Well, I have fond memories of her.
And I couldn't
My heart warms when I think about
it. In those days, I couldn't travel with you.
No,
there was
no way. Impossible. You know, but God done something. You see, just needed a seed. And every time I began to buy those duplicated, those things were $2,000 a piece back then. That was very expensive. Yet, it began to get easier and easier and easier. And now it takes millions a month. You heard me right. Millions, not million, millions a month to run this ministry. And do you know it's easier today than it was when I ordered that bow system? Think of it, because it was just me. You know, just me out there, buddy. I was doing it all. You know what I'm saying? But today I have partners. Then I didn't have partners. I didn't have none of that. Nothing, you know, but I said, I don't mind doing the work.
I think I helped a little bit.
Well, but they know that's a given, you know. But I'm just saying, I didn't have staff. I didn't have nothing. No money coming in as people give and support this ministry. None of that, you know. And I was willing to do whatever it took to get the job done by being steadfast.